The book of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and could I, while you're turning to it, say that it is an honour for my wife and I to be present here tonight at this historic service and to have the privilege of opening up the Word of God and to rejoice with you. I've been reading through the book of 1 Chronicles over the last few days in my own daily readings, and I was struck by the many lists of names of faithful men and women who have stood for the Lord. I'm not going to read all the verses in this chapter, partly because there are a lot of difficult names to pronounce. They read like a Hebrew telephone directory. But we'll just read a few for time. Verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 12. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war. Let's go down to verse 17. There were different groups, came from different tribes. In verse 17, and David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thy son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers. And then verse 31. And of the half tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and make David king. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of a double heart. May the Lord bless this reading of His own infallible Word for His glory. I can remember back to 1968 as a young man, knowing the Reverend McCrae when he was an assistant in the Ravenhill Church where my wife and I attended. We weren't married then, but both of us attended there. And then when the Reverend McCrae was helping in Sandown, I would have attended there a few times. I remember him rushing up at night, even on a Saturday night, saying to some of us, I just want to take a wee drive up to Macrofelt to see if the tent's okay. And off he would go, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, then preach the next day. I don't know, he's still like that. I don't know how he can keep going. Some people have said to me recently, somebody said to me this morning, Mr. Johnson, you're busy. Well, if you knew Mr. McCrae's schedule, you wouldn't be asking me, am I busy? But oh, even back then, his love for the Lord was evident. But tonight I don't want to go over the events. We could mention many of the historic events over these past 40 years. But rather, I want to focus tonight on what has motivated William McCrae. What is it that has kept him being the man of God and servant of God in this congregation that he has been over these 40 years? What has motivated him and his wife? To do that, I want to think of these men who faithfully, loyally, and courageously served King David when he was there in the wilderness, Saul seeking to kill him. Remember, Saul had been rejected as king. David was now the anointed, chosen king of God. But yet the nation had not accepted David yet. And David is hiding from the soldiers of Saul. But these loyal men came and identified with the cause of David. They believed that one day he would be crowned as king in the nation. Now there were one army, but there were different groups. And each group had their captains. In fact, you'll read in this passage of those who were captains in verse 18 and 21. It speaks of captains of each band. And as I read this, I thought of congregations. They're so like the individual groups that are mentioned here. And the Reverend McCrae has been like a captain, a leader of the Macrofelt group, if you like, that have come
And there are other groups throughout our land and around the world who are standing faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. But God in His providence and sovereign choice sent the Reverend McRae to this area to seek to build a group of men together who would stand for the cause of Christ. The word chronicle means a history. And tonight, on this 40th anniversary, there's another part of the history been written. It's amazing when you read the book of 1 Chronicles. Soldiers are mentioned by name. Scribes, that's the secretary, you secretaries of the different departments, they're mentioned. It mentions remembrancers, those that kept the history. I love verse 40, by the way. It speaks of those that brought bread, and on camels and mules, meat, meal, cakes of figs, bunches of raisins, wine. You know, there were people who brought food. Some food tonight, isn't it? Thank God for the ladies who brought the food. But God took the trouble to write the names of individuals. Even those who brought food for the soldiers. God's recorded it. You know, the important thing is that we have our names recorded in the Chronicle of Glory. God does take note of every faithful person in a congregation who works for Him. And tonight we thank God for the 40 years that Reverend McRae has served here in this congregation as captain, as it were, and for his evangelistic labours, even far off from here, for his preaching. Evangelism through his preaching, through his singing, and I know through his personal witness, even as we've heard tonight. And we know, to God be the glory. And I know the Reverend McRae would say to me, if he could speak up and interrupt me, but he's a gentleman, he won't do that. He would say, "Ron, don't be mentioning me, mention the Lord. To Him be all the glory." But yet the book of Romans does say to give honour to whom honour is due. And it's so good that you as your congregation have honoured Dr. McRae and his wife. It's a good thing to do, because the name of the Reverend McRae is and will be synonymous with Calvary Free Presbyterian Church, Macclesfield. His name will be synonymous with this work. 40 years ago, Reverend McRae came. Faithful people gathered around him. Let me say three things very briefly tonight. First of all, I want you to think of the characteristics that identified these soldiers in 1 Chronicles 12. The characteristics that identified them. And I'll just highlight them quickly. Verse 32. These were discerning men. They understood the times. You know, there's a little saying, there's some people who make things happen. There's other people who wondered what happened. Back 40 years ago, there were people in this area and in our land, and they understood what was happening. And they knew what needed to be done. But they went further than that. Of course, some people understand what's happening and know what needs to be done. But thank God there were men and women who were prepared to do it. Were prepared to step outside the camp and to stand for Christ. And for the Reverend McRae, who was willing to stand. They knew what needed to be done, and they gathered together, and they knew what God's will was. They were discerning men 40 years ago. They were devoted men, for in verse 38, it speaks about their heart. A perfect heart to make David king. We read earlier in the reading about those, their heart. Why, they were sincere. Those people that gathered in the tin huckles, it was called, and earlier in the tent. Oh, they had sincere heart for the work of God and for the Lord. They didn't come because it was comfortable. They had sincerity of heart. No, the heart's so important. Mr. McRae's many notable sermons, I think it was Mr. McRae now, maybe it was another minister, preached a great sermon on the heart. You need a perfect heart. You need a sincere heart. You need a faithful heart. You need a holy heart. You need a sweet heart. And all the ladies shouted amen. But I'm not sure if that was her brother or not. You can tell me afterwards. whether that was true or not, but the heart, they were devoted men. They were disciplined men in verse 38. They could keep rank. Wonderful to visit a congregation tonight and to look out and know this is a congregation that stood unitedly these 40 years. These men could keep rank. They were daring men. For in verse 21, they were mighty men of valor. In verse 8, their faces were like the faces of lions. They would do exploits for God. And I thank God that the Reverend McRae came here, a young man of 20 years of giving his age away. Young man came, and he was a mighty man of valor even then, because he was willing and dared to attempt great things for God. Who would have thought back then that the work would go on as it has? He dared to attempt great things for God. And he expected great things from God, and God is no disappointment. They were determined men in verse 15, but there's a tremendous thought here. The river was in flood, that's the River Jordan. And it said, they swam across it. They crossed it. Do you remember the children of Israel went through when Jordan was divided? But when these men came to the bank of the river, they were on the other side of Jordan, remember, and they wanted to go over and fight with their brethren. The river was in flood. They didn't say, "Ah, well, we'll go home." You know how some people, it's prayer meeting, it looks a bit rainy, I'll just stay in tonight. No, these men said, "What does it matter about a flood? We'll swim across." What great men these were. You see, it was difficult times back then. It was a battle. Now, you younger ones in the congregation, what a delight it was to see so many of you singing and taking part. Just let me say something to you. You see this beautiful building and the facilities you have, but I want you to remember, it took a struggle. It took faithful men and women years ago to start off in a tin hut, bearing the reproach of many people. It took effort, it took a battle. Of course, they bear eloquent testimony to the labours and sacrifice of the Reverend and Mrs. McRae and the men and women that stood with them in those days. But young people, remember, it was a struggle. And we know that William was given of himself willingly and joyfully. And you know, there is a joy with standing with your brethren in the fight. There have been battles over these 40 years. The difficult times. It's good tonight to rejoice, but there were times when it was hard. That was sung for us tonight. Discouraging times. But you know, in those discouraging times, any of you who are close to the Reverend McRae will know that he often says, "Hallelujah, anyway, the Lord's on the throne. Keep going, brother." I'm sure he said that to you men. Is that right, Sandra? Would have said it. Because he said it to me when I've been discouraged. And I want to personally thank you, Mr. McRae, for times you've encouraged me. Hallelujah anyway. Keep going, brother. The Lord's on the throne. You've had a minister who's been an encourager. And you know what I'm reading tonight of these men? It describes Mr. McRae's ministry. These characteristics are identified with him. And we honour you men and women who have stood with him over these 40 years tonight. But I want you to think not only of the characteristics that identified these soldiers, but the cause that united them. The cause that united them. What has united Mr. McRae with these people here in this congregation? People from various backgrounds, your various responsibilities, you're united in the cause. What is it? Verse 23. It tells you. It says, they came ready armed to the war and came to David to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. They came together with one aim. Verse 38 is put slightly differently. They came with a perfect heart to make David king over all Israel. You see, David was rejected. He was the anointed chosen of God, but the people rejected him. And these men came and said, "David, we're with you that you be king. That you be king." You know, you have united together here in Macrofelt with one cause. What does it unite you with Mr. McRae? Because he and you have a desire that Jesus Christ be crowned king in Macrofelt.
that the hearts of men and young people in this area come and submit to Jesus Christ as King of their life, as their Lord and Savior.
Mr. McRae preaches Jesus Christ.
By the way, do you know when I've been reading 1 Chronicles 12, we've already been reading of Jesus Christ. This is not only a chronicle about David. It's a chronicle about David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know there are some foolish people, and they still believe that the Bible in the Old Testament is simply a series of stories about men like Moses, Noah, David, the history of the Israelites. And if you want to read about the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you go to Matthew. Nonsense! People that say that don't know the first thing about the Bible. Jesus Christ is all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And when I was reading those verses, I hope you realized I was not just reading about a man called David. I was reading about a descendant of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, David's greater son. I can prove that easily to you. Don't turn to it for time. But in Matthew 22, the scribes and Pharisees were attacking Christ. He turned to them. Remember, Christ is the same name as Messiah, the promised one who would come. The Savior said to them, "Whose son is Messiah to be?" Of course, they knew the Old Testament. Oh, the descendant of David. Right? "But how then could David call his descendant, his son, my Jehovah, my Lord?" That's in Psalm 110. How could the promised Redeemer and Deliverer be David's descendant to come hundreds of years later? And yet David, writing in the Psalms, said, "My Lord, my Jehovah." Well, we know the answer. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's Jehovah, who at Bethlehem, the city of David, the royal city, took a human body and a human nature, and in his humanity, he was a descendant of David hundreds of years after David in the same family line. That's why he's entitled to be King of Israel. Yeah. Ah, but in his deity, he's existed from all eternity. Do you understand tonight that Jesus Christ is not just a man, but he's God? David's greater son, yes, but he's God. He's God. And I thank God that these men here in this story banded together to serve David. But the teaching of the chapter is to tell us that we are to band together to serve Jesus Christ. And 40 years ago, Dr. McRae came to this area. Of course, sometime after, he married his wife Anne, and she's been involved with him, standing with him, with one purpose, to see Jesus Christ crowned King. The characteristics that identified them, you can see those same characteristics in your ministry. The cause that united them, the same cause that unites you with your ministry. Ah, but I want you to think lastly about this. The Christ who motivated them. The Christ who motivated them. Now, what does the word Christ mean? The word Christ is the Old Testament Hebrew Messiah. You say, what does that mean? Anointed. I could just say tonight, the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah. Now, you look at verse 18. In verse 18, these men came and they said, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thy son of Jesse." David, we're on thy side. Tell me, who was David? David was the shepherd boy who in 1 Samuel 15 was chosen out by God. And Samuel took the oil and anointed him. If you like, in Hebrew, it's Messiah'd him. It's the same word. When you read the word anointed, that's the verb of the word from which we get Messiah or Christ. That's what Messiah means, anointed. David was an anointed person. You see, in the Old Testament, kings were anointed, priests were anointed, prophets were anointed. And every king, prophet, and priest chosen by God was a forerunner, a pointer, a prediction, if you like, a type of he who would come, who would be the specially anointed one.
the Christ. You see, when we talk of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word Christ is his title. We can say Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. I'm saying that David was an anointed king. And these men recognized that David, he is the anointed of God to be the king. And he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm saying the explanation, and that's what I said I'd do tonight, not recount the happenings of the past 40 years. But what has motivated your minister? I believe it's explained, illustrated by what motivated these men. William has been motivated by a love for Christ. By a love for Christ. David's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is mentioned all through the New Testament. The very first line of the New Testament, Jesus the Christ, the Son of David. Revelation 22 finishes, he's the offspring of David. Oh, this chapter is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the purpose, to unite together and to be stirred by him. There's a lovely verse where it says in verse 17, David said to these men, mine heart shall be knit unto you. Of course, I think of two aspects there. When Mr. McRae came here, his heart was knit with you. Isn't that true tonight? You can say as a congregation, our heart and Mr. McRae's are one. Because he has wept with us when we wept. He sat alongside us and the tears have flowed in our grief. Our heart's been knit with his. He's rejoiced with us when we've rejoiced. But of course the other picture here is these men were saying that of David. And oh, I trust tonight that you can say it of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has your heart been knit with his? Is his heart knit with yours? You see, the word David means beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the beloved of the Father, beloved of angels, beloved of the church. Why did they love David? Why were they attracted to him? Because they loved David for who he was and for what he did. He was the anointed. What did he do? 1 Samuel 17. Again, don't turn to it. You all know the story. I believe this is what motivated these men to come and to stand with David. Because as a teenage boy, and young people tonight, take note of that. As a teenage boy, David was chosen by God and anointed, and he went and he slew the giant Goliath as a teenage boy. Don't say, I'll wait until I'm older to serve Christ. Or I'll wait till I'm older to come and trust Christ as Savior. David was a teenage boy. What did he do in 1 Samuel 17? He came to a place where he saw and heard the giant belching out his blasphemies against Jehovah and the people of God. And this young lad said, is there not a cause? Now remember who David was. He was the sanctified one. He had been anointed by God with the holy oil. He was sent by his father to his brethren. But he was scorned by his brethren. But he became their Savior that day. That's the gospel tonight. You see, David's greater descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was chosen by God. He was consecrated the Anointed One. He was commissioned by his Father to come into this world. He was criticized by his own people. Ah, but he went into conflict with the enemy and he conquered the enemy. You see, it's great to see so many children's workers and Sunday school workers tonight. What a blessing it was just to see you. But let me just say something to you. If you're ever teaching the story of David and Goliath, it is not enough to say to the children that David was a great man of faith and he trusted God and he overcame the giant, and the boys and girls, you trust the Lord to overcome your problems. Now there's truth in that. But that's not the whole story. Not the whole story. I believe the main lesson of David and Goliath is this. That David is a picture of Christ. You see, David and the Lord Jesus Christ were representative men. What do I mean? Remember what Goliath said. Israel, you send one man. I'm the one man for the Philistines. If I win, you serve us. But if your champion wins, we'll be your servants. You see, everything that day depended upon David. No Israelite took any part in that battle. David versus Goliath. Whichever one won got the victory. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. Because in salvation we can do nothing. Our salvation depends on what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary. How do I know the story is a picture of Christ? Because in 1 Samuel 17 there's a long name, how difficult to pronounce, but the Hebrew is this. David fought Goliath in the place of blood. David ran into the valley of Elah. Elah is the oak tree. Here's David as the representative of all the Israelites. They couldn't beat Goliath, just as you can't save yourself from sin. But David goes to the place of blood. He goes out to the place of the tree. He kills Goliath. He takes Goliath's own sword and cuts off his head. And he takes the head of Goliath back up with him out of the valley. And later he puts it into Jerusalem. Now that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us in Calvary. God the Son came into this world and though he was scorned by his fellow Jews, he came unto his own and his own received him not. You know what happened? The Lord Jesus Christ, just like David, ran to the battle. He set his face like a flint. He wouldn't turn back. And he ran to meet the great giant of sin and Satan. And where did he go? He went to the place of the tree. Where did he go? The place of blood. See, from his head, his hands, his feet. Sorrow and love flow mingled down the blood. In the scourging, in the nails. And the soldier with the spear into his side. The Lord Jesus Christ went in to that battle. And with the devil's own sword, he defeated Satan. Because through death, he destroyed him that is the power of death, that is the devil. You know, yesterday, our nation quite rightly honored our forces who landed on Normandy beaches 65 years ago, D-Day, codename Operation Overlord. We think of those 150,000 troops landing on the beaches to defeat Nazism and fascism. You know, you think of that awful day in that battle when thousands died at the end of that day. By July, 1 million soldiers were fighting against Hitler. 1 million men were landed into France to push Hitler back. Of course, it's appropriate, I believe, for us as believers to mark that. Because we have freedom to build a church like this. We have freedom to worship because of the sacrifice of those men 65 years ago. Yesterday it started and went on to Hitler was defeated. When Winston Churchill became the leader of this land in his first speech on May the 10th, 1940, Winston Churchill said this, "I've nothing to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." You know, one company has landed on the Normandy beaches. Within 15 minutes, 96% of the men were killed. A colonel, an American colonel, on an Omaha beach, turned to his men and he said, "There are two types of men staying on this beach, the dead and those of us who are going to die. Move on, move on, move on." What a sacrifice those men gave. It's right to mark it. But you know, Paul in the New Testament used the soldiers of his day as an example of what it is to be a Christian. So I believe it's quite appropriate to mention that about Normandy and then to turn it spiritually, as Paul did in his day of soldiers, to say this, our Lord Jesus Christ is heaven's greatest soldier. He volunteered to come into the battle. He came into this world. And he went all the way to the battle of Calvary when he fought the Goliath of sin. That your sin that would condemn you in a Christless hell. The curse that was against every one of us because we're sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross and he shed his blood. Oh, what a battle! The fiercest battle that's ever been fought in this world's history. But by the shedding of his own precious blood, by the tears that he shed, by the toil, remember he cried, "I thirst." By his sweat, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Listen, he overcame Satan and sin. He won the victory. And you know, when David came back from winning the battle in 1 Samuel 17, you know what it says? All Israel shared in his spoil. What did they do to win the battle? Nothing. David had done it. Those of us who are saved here tonight, why are we saved? We didn't deserve it. Jesus Christ has done it all. All to him I owe. That's what we sing tonight. Oh, maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, well, to be saved I'll have to become religious and do what our brother did. I'll have to try and live without sin. You can't do it. You can't do it. Listen, salvation has already been done. What I'm saying is this. The cause that united these men to David and knit their hearts to his was, oh, they remembered he went in and defeated Goliath. And they said, we want to be on his side. Tonight the Lord Jesus Christ has defeated Satan and sin in Calvary. Do you not want to be on his side? Have you ever fallen in love with David's greater son, the King of Israel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And it is good tonight to mark the anniversary of one of the captains in the Lord's army. The captain, if you like, of the tribe of Macrophel. It's right to honour. But oh, on this occasion, what we need to remind ourselves of is the most important issue. That issue that's been uppermost in your minister's preaching is that men and women fall in love with Christ. I want to ask you, have you ever enlisted in his army? That's been Mr. McRae's motive. I've talked about the characteristics that have identified these men. I can see them clearly in your pastor. We've talked about the cause that united these men. That's the cause that unites this congregation, to make Jesus Christ King, to turn the hearts of people in Macrophel to the Saviour. Ah, but the Christ that motivated them. Do you love Christ? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to him? Trust him as Saviour. You see, Israel was in bondage. If it wasn't for David, they would have continued in bondage. But he defeated the Philistines. If there's no Saviour, you're lost. Eternity without God. And the most important thing we're saying tonight is this. On Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's anointed, went to the place of blood. And on that tree, he defeated Satan and sin. And tonight, just as those men shared in David's spoil, you can share in the spoils of Calvary. What that means is the blessings. Just as an army goes in and takes the riches. Oh, there's riches from Christ's victory. Pardon from your sin tonight. You can leave this meeting knowing that every sin is cleansed and you're right with God. A home in heaven, eternal life. They're all there tonight. If you come. If you come to Christ. These men came. They said, David, we want to be yours. David said, have you come with a perfect heart? Are you sincere? Yes. We want to be yours. I'm paraphrasing it now. Welcome. His heart was knit with theirs. Welcome. And I would simply say tonight, salvation is for you. And I say, come and welcome to Jesus. Let's bow in prayer together.